From Spark and Anvil and ReadQuest, this is Frame and Plume in Chapter 1 of the ReadQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Frame's workshop was quiet that morning. She was sorting wood shavings into the right baskets, small shavings in one, long curls in another, pine in a third. She liked sorting before she built. It cleared her head. Then a knock came at the workshop door. Three soft knocks. Frame looked up. Through the window, a flash of color. Green that turned blue, that turned soft gold. Plume, Frame said, smiling. The door opened. Plume came in. Her plumage that morning was a quiet, warm gray, with edges of pale yellow. That was her listening color. She wasn't reading anything yet. When Plume came over before reading, her plumage was neutral, because she hadn't picked up a tone to wear yet. I brought something, Plume said. She held up an envelope. The envelope was thick. Inside was a single sheet of paper. A passage came in the mail, from one of our students. They asked us to read it together. Frame wiped sawdust off her paws. She pulled a tall stool up to her workbench. Plume hopped onto the other stool. Plume's stool was wider, to give her tail feathers room. Plume slid the passage onto the workbench between them. The passage was short, about a paragraph long. Last summer, the neighborhood pond turned green and stinky. Kids couldn't swim, frogs left. The cause was something called algae bloom. It happens when fertilizer from lawns washes into water. The fix is simple. Plant a strip of tall grass between lawns and the pond. The grass catches the fertilizer before it reaches the water. By the end of summer, the pond was clear again. Frame read it once, then again. She tapped the workbench, the way she always did when she was getting the shape of something. "This one's interesting," she said. Plume cocked her head. Her plumage shifted from neutral gray to a curious soft green. "Read it with me," Frame said. "Then we name our two halves."
Frame slid off her stool. She walked over to the wall of frames. She ran a paw along the row of wooden shapes. Parallel bars. Staircase. Funnel. Broken fixed. Expanding. "This passage has a problem," Frame said. "And then a fix. The pond went bad. Then someone fixed it. So the shape of this passage is..." She lifted down a broken fixed frame. "This one." The broken fixed frame was two pieces of wood that had clearly been snapped at some point. Frame had glued the break carefully. You could still see the seam. The wood was whole again, but the history of the break showed. "Broken fixed," she said. "Also called problem solution. The first half names the trouble. The second half names the answer." She held the frame next to the paper. The first half of the passage matched the broken side. Green pond, kids couldn't swim, frogs left. The second half of the passage matched the fixed side. Plant grass, pond clear again. Plume watched, her plumage shifting from soft green to a brighter, attentive emerald. "That's clear," she said. "Once you hold the frame up, the shape is obvious." Frame nodded. "Without the frame, the passage just feels like words. With the frame, you can see what the writer is doing. They built the passage with a known shape. They wanted you to recognize. Here's a thing that went wrong, and here's how it got better." She set the broken fixed frame down on the bench, on top of the passage, so the two halves of the wood lined up with the two halves of the paper. "Shape, named. That's my part." She tapped the bench once. "Now you." Plume hopped down from the stool. Her plumage was already starting to change.
Plume stood beside the workbench. She closed her eyes for a second. She always closed her eyes once before naming a passage's purpose. It was a small habit, like Frame's bench tap.
"Purpose," Plume said quietly. Her plumage shifted as she said it. Not all at once, slowly. Green deepened, gold edged the tips. A small flush of orange moved through her chest feathers.
"Not informing," Plume said. "Informing is dry. Informing is neutral. Informing wears my pale gray." She paused. "This isn't that." She walked once around the workbench, slowly. "Not entertaining either. Entertaining is bright. Entertaining is playful. Entertaining wears my bright yellow with red flicks. This isn't that either." Frame watched. She liked the way Plume named things by what they weren't first. "This passage wants something," Plume went on. "It wants the reader to do something. It wants the reader to think, oh, that worked. Maybe we could try it too." She tilted her head. "This is persuasion, but it's gentle persuasion. The author isn't shouting. The author isn't scaring. The author is showing a small success story and trusting the reader to draw the lesson." Her plumage settled, gold-edged green, warm, steady, hopeful. A color of yes, this works, purpose, persuade. Tone, hopeful, calm, factual. Plume opened her eyes. "That's my part," she nodded at Frame. "But you saw the shape first. The shape let me hear the voice." Frame nodded back. "And your voice confirms the shape. A persuasive passage almost always wears a problem-solution frame. The shape and the voice match. They tell you the writer planned both."
The two of them stood at the workbench. The broken, fixed frame lay across the passage. Plume's plumage glowed soft, warm gold beside it. The morning sun in the workshop shifted on the floor. A small wind nudged the wood shaving baskets. "This is why we work together," Frame said. Plume agreed. "A reader who only sees shape, without voice, reads a passage as a diagram. They know what kind of passage it is, but they don't feel what the writer wanted. They might read this paragraph and shrug. Yeah, a pond got fixed. They miss the persuasion." Frame picked up the broken fixed frame. She turned it gently. "And a reader who only hears voice, without shape, reads a passage as a mood. They feel hopeful. They feel persuaded. But they don't notice the writer chose a problem-solution structure. They might read this paragraph and feel good, but they couldn't tell another reader why it works." "Shape and voice," Plume said. "Frame and Plume," Frame said. They had a quiet little tradition. Whenever a passage was fully named, they said both pairs together, in that order. Shape first, voice second. Frame's name first, Plume's name second. Frame slid the passage back into the envelope. She tucked the broken fixed frame back onto its hook on the wall. Plume's plumage gentled back toward neutral gray. The passage had been read. The voice had been named. Plume didn't need to hold the color anymore. "What should we write back?" Plume asked. Frame thought. "Tell the student, you read a problem-solution passage. The writer wanted to persuade you, gently, with a small success story. Now you can see both halves, the shape that the writer built and the voice they used. Both of those are choices. The writer made them on purpose, and you can make them too when you write your own passages." Plume nodded. She liked that. "Shape and voice." "Shape and voice," Frame agreed.
The workshop bell rang from the front room. Another envelope had been slipped through the mail slot. Two more passages were coming. The morning was just getting started. Plume hopped down from the workbench. She walked toward the front room to fetch the new envelope. Her plumage flickered briefly through a fast cycle. Gray, pale blue, soft orange, back to gray, as she sampled what the next passage might wear. Frame stayed at the workbench. She rolled up her sleeves. She pulled down two more frames from the wall, ready. Funnel, in case it was cause-effect. Parallel bars, in case it was compare-contrast. The two of them, the carpenter and the peacock reader, the wood and glue and the shifting feathers, the shape and the voice, got ready for the day. Whoever had built that pond passage had planned both halves. Frame had the shape, Plume had the voice. Together, they could show any student how the whole passage fit together. That was the work. Frame named what the writer built. Plume named how the writer sounded. The reader walked away with both, and Frame felt it every time. That quiet, glad warmth of two friends who fit together, each holding half of something whole. Alone, she could name a shape. Beside Plume, she felt the passage come alive. That was the best part of every morning. Not the wood, not the feathers, but the two of them, side by side, making a reader feel understood.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Frame and Plume. Released under Creative Commons BYNC SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.